Good morning. Today is Monday, the 24th of November. My name is Chris Hutton, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin with renewed speculation regarding President Ramaphosa's future. Next, insights from the latest Social Research Foundation poll. We then analyze rising tensions between SANDF chiefs and their political counterparts. The US tariffs puzzle shifts once again. And we close with another South African Reserve Bank rate cut and whether higher inflation is on the cards in 2026. President Cyril Ramaphosa will remain in his position as country and ANC leader until the 2027 party elective conference. This is the CRA's assessment of the balance of forces within the party, now favouring some measure of stability, predictability, and safe hands. Following initial reporting in Sunday World, speculation increased last week that Mr. Ramaphosa was on his way out, that the party's National Executive Committee would be disbanded, and that a national task team led by former President Thabo Mbeki would take the reins. During the latest party leadership meeting, Mr. Ramaphosa is said to have dared any doubters in his leadership to challenge him directly. Deputy President Paul Mashatile remains the frontrunner to take over in 2027. The ANC is facing further electoral decline in the next local government elections. This pressure will come to bear on its patronage networks, as the CRA has highlighted this year, but especially on the party leadership in the form of Mr. Ramaphosa. Along with the G20 presidency, the Government of National Unity's continued existence and success are viewed by Mr. Ramaphosa as the main pillars of his legacy. Although retaining Mr. Ramaphosa at the party and government helms will please markets and superficially boost South Africa's investment appeal, the risk is that substantive policy and legislative reforms remain on the back burner as commodity cycles boost government revenue and mask the country's lack of strong growth fundamentals. A new opinion poll by the Social Research Foundation, covering 1,002 registered voters and providing a 4% margin of error, finds that Mr. Ramaphosa remains the most favorably viewed politician at 38%. He is followed by the Democratic Alliance federal chairperson Helen Zille at 29% and party leader John Steenhuisen at 26%. Umkhonto Wesizwe party leader Jacob Zuma scored 21%. Regarding the ANC's 2027 leadership race, 23% of respondents backed Patrice Motsepe to succeed Mr. Ramaphosa, with 19% opting for party Secretary General Fikile Mbalula and 13% for Mr. Mashatile. On party support, based on a 52.8% turnout model, the ANC received 37%, followed by the DA on 32%. No other party registered higher than 10%, with MK scoring 8%, the Economic Freedom Fighters 7%, and the Inkatha Freedom Party 6%. With the next local government elections set to be fiercely contested, especially in Johannesburg, 60% of respondents said they supported Helen Zille for mayor. 90% of DA voters supported her, 50% of ANC voters, and 41% of EFF voters, while 41% of MK voters supported her for mayor. Of black respondents, 51% supported Ms. Zille's candidacy, 87% of coloured respondents, 66% of Indian respondents, and 84% of white respondents. The ANC's brand and credibility continue their downward trajectory. Of those surveyed, 73% linked the ANC with the phrase broken promises versus 3% for the DA, and 63% believe the party cares only about itself versus 10% for the DA. Confidence in the GNU is weakening somewhat. 52% of respondents indicated they believed the government would succeed versus 32% expecting it to fail. The Chief of the South African Navy, Vice Admiral Mondi Lobese, used the recent SA Navy Gala dinner to issue a stark warning about South Africa's deteriorating maritime security capabilities. He argued that chronic underfunding had left the Navy without enough serviceable ships and submarines, resulting in long absences from sea. According to the Admiral, this gap directly benefited drug traffickers, illegal traders, and human trafficking networks operating across the Indian and Atlantic routes. His Kenyan and Philippine counterparts recently reported intercepting large drug consignments from East Asia destined for Southern Africa. Admiral Lobese suggested that South Africa was a primary target and questioned whether sustained defunding might be influenced by criminal networks or be part of an agenda to weaken state defense in favor of future privatized security interests. He warned that the steady erosion of capability threatened national sovereignty, economic stability, and the long-term safety of citizens. Through a formal media statement, the Department of Defense described the admiral's comments as inappropriate and disingenuous, arguing that they cast unfair suspicion on government leadership at a time when defense funding issues were already being discussed within the department and in parliament. The statement emphasized that the admiral's views did not reflect official policy. There are deep divisions between the chiefs and the defense minister, Angie Motshekga. Military leaders do not see her as someone who understands their issues. The chief of the Navy's remarks show that he is willing to go over his superior's head to lambast Treasury over underfunding. The military is in no position to conduct any sort of coup. All combat-ready equipment is kept at the combat training settler La Hotla in the Northern Cape, about as far as it could possibly be from the Union buildings and Parliament. However, there is growing discontent within the rank and file with political leadership, and the top echelons have thus far been unable to address it effectively. A recent morale survey conducted by the department showed declining overall morale. President Donald Trump scaled back parts of his April tariff order, a move driven by the realization that blanket duties would lift food prices for U.S. consumers, damaging the Trump administration's prospects ahead of the 2026 midterm elections as the question of affordability shifts into political focus. Should U.S. domestic food prices stabilize, this duty reprieve could be temporary. South African farmers benefit modestly. Oranges, macadamia nuts, and certain fruit juices now fall outside the tariff schedule, representing relief for a small group of South African agricultural exporters. South Africa took advantage of the announced pause on the tariffs in the second quarter of this year and pushed a 26% year-on-year increase in agricultural exports to the US as firms front-loaded shipments ahead of the duties being reinstated. Overall, most products remain exposed to tariffs. Table grapes, wine, or ostrich products did not make the exemption list. The 30% duty on non-agricultural goods is unchanged. The expiry of the African Growth and Opportunity Act has added additional tariffs that protected several products for the past 25 years. South African exporters who benefit from this new list of exemptions should remain wary of a return to higher tariffs. Given the antagonism evidenced between the US and South Africa over the G20 summit, there is little chance that the tariffs will be reduced and a slight possibility that they might be increased. And finally, a fourth interest rate cut this year by the South African Reserve Bank by 25 basis points will boost short-term consumer and household spending. The latest cut brings this easing cycle in 2025 to a total of 100 basis points worth of cuts. But weak structural fundamentals still in play risk short-circuiting South Africa's recent positive fiscal and growth sentiment. An inconsistent and more expensive electricity monopoly, underperforming ports and rail, and endemic crime and corruption make doing business and investing riskier. On the policy and legislation front, the government's preference remains weighted towards expropriation without compensation and more aggressive black economic empowerment initiatives. Depending on the direction of travel of supply-side drivers of higher prices, consumer price inflation could well tread an upward route through 2026. These drivers include administered prices, the international oil price, supply chains tightening, and rand weakness. In this scenario, a typically hawkish Reserve Bank would feel encouraged to either cease rate cuts or more likely increase rates again to press inflation down towards its new 3% target. If South Africa's latest short-lived spurt of growth proves to be only cyclical on the back of rising commodity prices in 2025, businesses will still need to contend with average low growth and stubborn inflation through the second half of the decade. That is all from us for this week. We wish you a successful week ahead, and we'll be back with you next week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. sharp, with the latest risk alert.